Hey everyone, I'm Alex Cantor.
And I'm Lily Rosenthal.
Welcome to our podcast, Hot Pastrami.
We are coming to you from our favorite booth at Cantor's Deli here in LA.
We're going to invite some of our friends to join us for a chat over some matzo ball soup and pastrami sandwiches.
So join us for new episodes of Hot Pastrami every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon. Bye. Hello, friends. Welcome to the podcast. I hope your day is treating you well. I am spending this quarter writing my book, which means that we are posting a few of my personal favorite episodes from the last year. This episode originally aired earlier this year, but I'm wondering if you got a chance to listen to it. If you're interested in the book, you can be one of the first people to know when it goes live by signing up for our newsletter list at clubenneagram.com. For now, thanks for being here, and let's get into the episode. I am so excited to talk with you today about one of my favorite theories in the Enneagram. Before we dive in, I want to talk a bit about theories surrounding the Enneagram in general and why I refer to them as such. Occasionally, I get a comment or a DM that says, "I can't believe you entertain the idea of tri-types." And then someone else will say, "Until you dive into tri-types, you aren't teaching the true Enneagram." It's funny how both of these commenters feel equally entitled to their understanding of the Enneagram and equally perturbed that I don't put a stake in the ground on either. The reality for me is that all of this is theory. All of this is intended for personal use. Therefore, I will entertain all of it, and I will take and work with what makes sense for me and my journey, and I encourage you to do the same. I am very skeptical of anyone who claims to have all of the answers, especially on this particular topic. There are so many different schools of thought that are conflicting, and I enjoy the role of bringing information to you and allowing you to decide for yourself how it fits into your own understanding of you. With that, I want us to explore the work of Sandra Maitrey. Now, I'm not 100% sure if that's how we pronounce her name because I've only seen it written, but I do love her work. So we're going to explore the work of Sandra Maitrey. She wrote the books Enneagram of Passions and Virtues, as well as the spiritual dimension of the Enneagram. One of the theories she kind of brought to the forefront is the theory of the soul child. The concept here is that we were, as children, the number that we go to in rest, and that somewhere along the way, we received the message that we couldn't or shouldn't be that way. And so we developed our dominant type pattern as a response. Have you heard of the idea of being true to and honoring your inner child? It's a common concept in the work that we do in self-help land, and the idea that the more grace and permission we give to our inner child, the more healed and true to ourselves we can be as adults. Soul child theory really plays nicely into this, the idea that deep down we are our soul child and we're covering it up with our type pattern. Kind of plays into that idea really well. Today's podcast is brought to you by Flex. Friends, my life changed, my relationship to my period changed when I switched my menstrual products. Traditional menstrual care sucks. Here's the thing. It's what we know. It's what we thought was good. I understand. I used to be a believer in a solid tampon use. That's like all I used to do. It's what I thought was normal. It felt fine. Friends, when I changed to a cup, everything got better. My cramps were easier. I like dealt with my period much less frequently because they last for hours. There's no trash building up in your trash can. It is so much better. If you want a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet, you have got to try Flex. Flex is innovating period care with products that are body safe, made for comfort, and made to keep you moving. There's the Flex Disc, which is a one-time use menstrual disc that fits perfectly inside your body. One Flex Disc can be worn for up to 12 hours and holds as much as 3 super tampons. It's not a cup, and better than a tampon. It's unlike any other period product that you have seen before. Plus, you can wear it for mess-free period sex.
Your white sheets will thank you. Now, Flex discs also create 60% less waste compared to pads and tampons. So yes, you can consider using Flex your environmental good deed. And if you want to go zero waste and have the planet love you even more, pick up the Flex cup, my personal favorite. It's a reusable menstrual cup that Cosmo rated number one. Now, the patented pull tab makes Flex the only cup on the market that removes like a tampon. It's so easy. It's like you already know how to do this. Like you've been doing this your whole period life. It's also disability friendly and made with beginners in mind. It is velvety soft, completely body safe, and lasts for years. The cup is my favorite because it's the kind of thing you put it in and you never think about it all day long. I usually just like put it in the morning, don't even have to think about my period all day long. And at the end of the day, I take it out, wash it, put it back in. Don't think about it again until the morning. You don't feel it in your body. You don't ever have to think about the fact that like you were on your period. I can travel with it. I can do sports with it. There's nothing complicated about it. With helpful videos, in-depth diagrams, gifts, and Flexperts available to walk you through the entire process, you'll never go back to products from the past once you try Flex. So say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/egram and use code egram for 20% off Flex Disc Starter Kits or 10% off your first Flex Cup. Plus free U.S. shipping. That's code EGRAM at Flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/EGRAM. Thank you, Flex, for supporting the podcast.
What this can look like by type, in my opinion, is at Enneagram 1s, you know, in rest, move to type 7. And so kind of like beneath this very kind of self-controlled, contained type one is a little bitty seven who just wants to explore and play and go after everything they want. But somewhere along the way, they receive the message that there's a proper way to do things. And so they kind of restrain themselves. Then there are Enneagram type twos who move to four. Now beneath every, you know, very generous, loving, open, kind type two, there's a little four who tries in every way possible to express their needs and desires, but never quite felt like they were enough. So they learned to feel like they were enough through serving and loving others. If they served in love, then they'd receive love. Then we have our Enneagram threes who move to type six. Our beneath every confident, driven, forward-moving three is a little six who worried about the world not being enough for them and things not working out. They learned along the way that they could find certainty through achievement. If they could just be the best, then their anxieties would go away. Or Enneagram fours who move to type one. You know, beneath every unrestrained, original, emotionally connected four is a little type one who just wanted to be good, that desired to control themselves and the world around them and seek to be assured that they are doing the right thing. Yet somewhere along the way, they learned that no matter how hard they tried, they'd never be good enough. And if they couldn't be good, they would at least be special and prove to the world through that method that they were meant to be this way. Or fives who move to eight. These self-contained, non-assertive, kind of hidden in the background type fives, there's inside of them is this vivacious little eight, an unstoppable, highly territorial, and aggressive eight who isn't afraid to go after exactly what they want. But somewhere along the way, they learned that it wasn't appropriate to make a fuss or demand what they want, so they learned to internalize and hoard over-demanding and taking. Or our sixes who move to nine. You know, underneath every six who's vigilant, insightful, tries to tell the future and see potential risks or problems, is this tiny little nine who is relaxed, easygoing, not overly concerned about potential threats. Somewhere along the way, the six learned that it wasn't safe to be so relaxed, and they started to keep their eyes out for potential threats and pitfalls as a way to maintain their safety. Or our sevens who move to five, you know, beneath every charming, engaged, freedom-seeking seven is a little five who craves time to themselves, time with their thoughts, and wants space to think and explore internally and not share their resources. But somewhere along the way, they learned that they needed to keep the joy up in order for things to be okay. So they learned that if they keep their minds happy and ignore their pain, they can ensure that their needs get met. Through happiness, they can keep people from prying. or Enneagram type 8s, you move to 2. These big, bold, powerful 8s have a little 2 inside whose heart is open and gooey and soft. Someone who cares too much about what others think and lacks an intrinsic sense of self-worth. Somewhere along the way, the 8 learned that being this soft and open meant getting destroyed or eaten up, so they built a defense and became powerful as a way to make sure they were never controlled. And finally, our Enneagram 9s who moved to type 3. These humble, unassertive, collaborative, merging 9s have this little bitty 3 inside who is ambitious, competitive, and confident, and seeks to lead and gain recognition for their accomplishments. Somewhere along the way, the 9 learned that they were better seen and not heard, that their needs caused too much stress to those closest to them, so they started to soften their preferences and quiet their input as a way to ensure they didn't lose the connections that meant the most to them. Now, as a reminder, this is just a theory, and it's honestly my take on a theory at that. So it's like next level theory on a theory. It's not law. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. I know it's a very brief overview of a complex idea. A really good book place to start would be to check out Sandra Maitrey's work. Until next time, if you liked today's episode, leave a rating review in iTunes. It helps me to get this podcast to more incredible listeners just like you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.